Well, life can pose many a moral dilemma, yeah, a modern dilemma too. Quandaries that have you questioning your attitudes, your beliefs, and what to do. Each Friday in Life Matters, I'm going to be teasing out a modern dilemma for you with a couple of thoughtful guests. And I invite you to submit anything that has come up for you in your life that you've been wrestling with, that we can then debate and dissect and maybe even help solve for you. Now, to get us underway, I'm offering up one from my own circle of friends. And this is a dilemma that a friend found herself in and that I've never forgotten. All right, so it was at the supermarket. She was lined up at the checkout with her trolley. There was a woman in front of her with three young children, and this woman was paying at the checkout with vouchers. So that suggested that she was on some kind of welfare or income support. So she was doing it tough, probably. And it turned out that she didn't have enough in vouchers to pay for everything. She was about maybe $5 short. So my friend noticed this and thought, well, I can pay the difference for her. Then she also noticed that this woman was buying only things like potato chips and fizzy drinks. And at that point, my friend froze. Do I give her the $5 for her to feed her children chips and sugary drinks when I put, you know, a lot of effort into making sure I feed my children nutritious food? Well, in that scenario, what would you do? Carly Finlay is a writer and speaker and disability activist, and Dr. Matt Beard is an ethicist and philosopher, and they're going to help us sort this out. Matt, put yourself in this line at the checkout. What are your immediate thoughts?
So my immediate thoughts aren't to put myself in the line at the checkout, but as an ethicist and philosopher, I kind of want to take a step back and tease out what's a fact and what's an assumption here. Because oftentimes when we're faced with a scenario, we have a few facts, and then because we're narrative, we're storytelling creatures, we fill in the gaps between those facts with our own assumptions. And a lot of our ethical attitudes can be made by those assumptions.
Let's get to those in a minute. But Carly, can I just get your first reaction to hearing this scenario?
Sure. Well, I think that $5 won't break my bank, so I can certainly afford that. But like Matt said, I think that we respond on our beliefs, and maybe we have to put those aside for this time.
All right. So, Matt, what do you see might be happening here in the mind of, you know, my friend, who we'll call her the hesitant giver?
The hesitant giver seems to me to be assuming that because she's seeing this person on welfare buying junk food at this particular moment, that that this is the way that this person always buys food for their children, and that these children must, because this person's on welfare, and therefore this person might not be highly educated and might not have much nutritional awareness, is always feeding her children, you know, unhealthy foods, when we don't have any evidence to suggest that that's the case. It could be a birthday party. It could just be a one-off treat for those children. And so some of those assumptions seem to be holding the hesitant giver back from doing what is coming from a really good place and is a very generous sentiment, but some of those assumptions seem to be holding her back.
Carly, what are your thoughts on the contents of the trolley?
Well, I used to work as an event planner, and I would regularly go to the supermarket to buy things like chips and cake and drinks and fruit and cheese as well. So, you know, I think that I sometimes worried what people would think what's in my basket, but I, you know, I don't know the real story. This woman could be an event planner too.
I guess it's all very well, though, to say, you know, you can't judge. But, Matt, it is pretty hard not to construct a narrative from the information that you perceive.
Yeah, it is hard. And, in fact, I would say it's almost impossible not for that narrative not to be constructed. The question is what we do with that narrative. And I think that a lot of the time it's simply the act. And I think these dilemmas and situations like this, even the idea of airing that with other people and saying, hey, I face this situation, I'm not sure what I should do. That idea of airing the narrative that we've constructed for ourselves and kind of testing it either against our own thinking or against the thinking of other people can help to chip away at some of those things, which which in the moment we really need to test it against our own beliefs and subject our own thinking to some kind of meta thinking and some critical thinking to see whether there's any assumptions we're making, any biases that we might be bringing to the table.
Carly, the mother was paying with vouchers in this scenario. Mm-hmm. What might you assume or shouldn't you assume about that?
Perhaps she was on welfare. Perhaps she received the vouchers as a present. You know, they might have been the store's gift cards, those sorts of vouchers. And, you know, I'm sure all of us have received those in some form. I don't think that it's safe just to assume that they can't afford to buy nutritious food regularly or that they always buy these sorts of food, you know, the chips and lollies on a regular basis. I think that's a really poor assumption. And also, depending on, I guess, how the woman looked as well, our assumption could
Oh, okay. So tell me
there.
About that, okay.
Well, I guess, you know, like Matt said, our prejudice is formed on what we believe. And if she had, you know, maybe looked overweight, we might assume that she always ate that. But that's a really poor assumption to make because, you know, as we both say, she might not and her children might not eat like this every day.
Carly, how might the fact that there are children present influence the decision, you know, for you to give you know, in that moment to make up the difference or not?
Well, the children need to be fed and we could worry that they'll go hungry if she can't make her whole payment as well. So there's that. Maybe the children might start shouting because the mother, you know, has to leave the supermarket empty-handed. So maybe people want to avoid that and pay.
Matt, the assumption, as we've been saying, is that this woman was on welfare and that's what motivated my friend to want to help in the first place. I guess it then becomes, you know, it does become your feelings about your right or otherwise to judge on how this woman was spending her welfare dollars, if that is a correct assumption.
Yeah, if the assumption is true, then it does invoke some of that thinking. And again, we would want to be a little bit careful about, even if we knew for certain that this woman is on welfare, you know, even kids whose parents are on welfare deserve a treat every now and again. And it would be a bit rough if we were to subject welfare recipients to higher standards than we held ourselves to. And we've all spoiled our kids at some stage or another. So there's that. But then even if the assumption is true, we've still got a few things to wrestle with about deciding whether or not to give the money. And the first is that, you know, is it better that that children or a family receive some food, are able to buy some food, even if it's not the healthiest food, or that they have no food whatsoever? So if we kind of thought in that sort of consequentialist mode of thinking, it might still be the best thing to do to give the money away, because at least they're getting some kind of nutrition, even if it's not vegetables and fruit.
Carly, you mentioned that $5 mm-hmm. is not that much, so it wouldn't make much difference. What about if it had been more money, if it had been $20 or $50? Does the amount make a difference to whether you'd be reaching into your purse or
Perhaps
not?
Perhaps it's what I can afford that week as well. I think that, you know, $5 here and there is not too bad to spend generally, but maybe if it was $50, it would be a different matter. I also wonder whether the lady, if no one gave the money, if she would put something back that, you know, then took the
That's the alternative, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Now, just focusing still on the contents of the trolley, mm-hmm. is there a line, Carly, where you wouldn't give the money, whether it was $5 or $50?
I'm going to be really judgy here, I guess, and say I probably wouldn't pay for a packet of cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think when we give, we're giving in a way that sort of, in a sense, condones or supports some kind of behaviour, and we might not necessarily like the consequences with the junk food, but we do have to draw a line somewhere based on the things that we value and that we think are important. So, you know, I think I probably wouldn't, if there was a grocery line and someone was hard up for cash, I probably wouldn't support something like cigarettes. Especially if there were kids there and it looked like there was a sacrifice being made in terms of how much food was there for the kids in order for someone to buy cigarettes.
You see, this is interesting because, you know, you're both talking about not making assumptions and not judging.
Exactly.
But then, you know, the cigarettes might be for, I don't know what they'd be for, but an artwork or, I don't know, you know.
they might well be, but when we're making decisions like this, it's not about throwing our assumptions out the window, because that leaves us with nothing to act on but the facts. And when we have incomplete facts, sometimes we still need to act. But it is about balancing the assumptions that we're making against the possibility that we're wrong. And when it comes to something like a packet of cigarettes, look, there is a chance that that they're being used for an art installation, which is going to earn this person huge amounts of money, which is going to be able to feed their kids for a long time. Like, that's a very real possibility. However, the likelihood is perhaps somewhat lower. And there's also the consequences. The damage that's done by smoking cigarettes is arguably higher, because it's a regular habit, than might be sort of a one-off packet of chips or something like that. But
well,
in some senses, it's still subjective.
Yeah. Well, I can now reveal, I've always wanted to say that, I can now reveal that the hesitant giver did not hand over the money, but the incident has played on her mind and mine ever since. Matt, just briefly, when a moment passes like that, what can you do to let the dilemma rest?
Well, I think that it's an opportunity for reflection in the one hand, and sometimes it's people urge you, just put it out of your mind. But when you can't put it out of your mind, that's often a prompt from your conscience to say, well, there was something here that tweaked with my values and my principles, and it's something that I need to reflect on more. So I would allow the time for reflection, even if it seems like a fairly innocuous situation. But then if we come to the position that, you know, we're regretful of the way we acted, it's really important that we actually allow space for some self-forgiveness. And I know a lot of people, and I include myself in that, who aren't very good at self-forgiveness. I think it's something that we don't practice enough.
Yeah, self-forgiveness. Dr. Matt Beard is from the Ethics Centre in Sydney. Carly Finlay is a writer, speaker and disability activist. Matt and Carly, thank you for engaging so thoroughly with this modern dilemma, the first of more to come here in Life Matters.